there seem to be a variety of things. First of all, it would appear that the government is either preparing either to buy up or to insure past bad debts by the bank, the so-called toxic debts. I have to say, I think that's a thoroughly bad idea. The taxpayer is already up to its neck in the banks already without taking on vast new liabilities. Moreover, it's not at all clear to me that this is a priority. Somebody rather helpfully drew the analogy, when you're in the middle of the Blitz, why are you worrying about post-war reconstruction? I mean, this is a longer-term, second-order problem, and there's no point the government getting into it now, particularly as it's very, very difficult to value these bad assets. And that's not where the priority is. The priority is to get the banks in lending mode to good British companies.
There's also proposals apparently to transfer the government's preference shares in the Royal Bank of Scotland into ordinary shares. So that'll be, in effect, a full nationalisation. Why is the Royal Bank of Scotland in so much trouble?
Well, it's engaged in some extremely foolish, reckless behaviour in the past. There have been a whole lot of problems associated with the acquisition of the big Dutch bank, which is now apparently, one of the newspapers this morning described how it lent £2 billion to a Russian oligarch who seems to have lost it. So Fred Goodwin and his generation of senior bankers made some appallingly bad decisions, and these are now coming home to roost. What the Royal Bank of Scotland has in common with some of the others, notably Barclays, is that their investment banking operations, which were effectively operated like casinos, have just lost vast sums of money. And that's why these banks are in terrible difficulties. It's currently the Royal Bank of Scotland which is most exposed, but what's emerged in the stock market over the last few days is that the market's realised that Barclays isn't in a much better position than they be in the same state. Now, as far as the remedy is concerned, the government already owns 60% of the shares. Extending that to 70% doesn't in itself change very much. What is necessary is that that bank, because it is so big and because it's so important to the UK economy, will have to be directed to give priority to new lending.
You mentioned the problem of lending. There are also reports that Northern Rock may be handed further billions. The amount varies according from report to report, but it would be used as a good bank, in inverted commas, to boost lending. I mean, how would that work? Do you think that might be something that would get things going again?
Well, it seems an improvement on where we are at the moment. I mean, although it made sense a year ago to say to Northern Rock that the main purpose of its existence was to run off its assets and get the money back to the taxpayers as quickly as possible, it's clear that that whole strategy has been overtaken by events, and Northern Rock has to be able to contribute to new lending flows to sound borrowers. And I guess this is a recognition that there is now a fundamental change in direction.
The fact that the government's considering a second bailout of the banks, in effect, does that mean that the first bailout, the one that we saw in October when £37 billion of taxpayers' money was used to recapitalise the banks, does that mean that October's investment by the taxpayer hasn't worked?
Well, it certainly hasn't produced the results that were expected, and that's why I'm very reluctant to support any additional commitment, particularly in areas like the buying up or guaranteeing of toxic debt. I mean, I think there is a major set of questions here. I mean, I don't know, and I don't know whether you know, but where this $37 billion actually went. The basic understanding at the time was that it would be used to maintain lending flows to business and to other sound borrowers, and that doesn't seem to have happened. I've never seen the figures. They've never been published, but as far as I can see, the money has simply been used to prop up the balance sheets of the banks, which was not the original objective. So we should, under no circumstances, just be pumping in more money until that $37 billion has been put to good use, maintaining loans. I mean, what we mean here is, I mean, there are a lot of very good British companies that are not insolvent, that are perfectly competent, and are not able to pay their wages at the moment because they can't get their revolving credit, can't get their working capital. And that's what the banks are there for. And the overriding priority for the use of that $37 billion should be to get this lending flows going.
Vince Cable, many thanks for talking to us.